The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Dr. Rab, what you got? Dr. Rab, Stuart Rossbridge, Animal Hospital's Dark Side of the Pooch. By the way, we've had several people say, I love the name of your show. It's the only podcast on Spotify that's called Dark Side of the Pooch, and why wouldn't it be? And I said, Dr. Rab came up with that for himself, and of course, my blue healer is right there on the front page if you go to Spotify. It's worth going to Spotify just to see the graphics of Dark Side of the Pooch right here with Dr. Rab, Stuart. Brought to you always by Ed's Pet World. I'm going to go down there tomorrow and buy my big old ball boa, a nice big fat rat. They got fish down there. They got all kinds of great snakes. I came in alligators down there. They have chinchillas. They have mice. They have rabbits. They've got every exotic pet you can think of down there at Ed's Pet World. It's fantastic. And on top of that, they do toys. Seth travels the United States of America looking for great deals. All these vintage toys, collectibles, watches, Star Wars stuff still in the box. If you want to buy, sell, or trade, you find something in your attic, check out the wonderful folks at Ed's Pet World right there in Homewood. It's been around for nearly 50 years. They do great work. Dr. Rab, how you doing, brother? First of all, 208-0301, 208-0301, the phone number. Rossbridge Animal Hospital right there at Rossbridge. He's the man. This is the longest running show we've done on Tony Curry Radio, and it's one of our best. How you been, brother? Everything good?
I'm very excited because tomorrow night I get to go see, for the first time in my life,
don't tell
Steely
me.
Dan.
No! Steely Dan. Dude, I want to go so bad.
I'm doing it.
This show is actually going to be running the Monday after the Steely Dan show. So next Monday when we record the show, you got to let me know. It's one of my top five shows. I saw them at the BJCC Concert Hall. And one of the best concerts I've ever seen, and you will thoroughly enjoy the show over there in beautiful Atlanta at the Chastain Park. I may see you at that show, man, if I can get out of
here.
I hope
that you do. You know, Steely Dan is, I mean, they are some of the best musicians. And, the lineup has changed. It's not, the lineup changes all the time because Donald Fagen is such a, he's such a pro, he's such a perfectionist. So, it's not the same band that recorded Can't Buy a Thrill. And of course, Walter Becker he's no longer with us, unfortunately, but it's Donald is there. And I'm super excited. My dad turned me on to Steely Dan, and I've got a few of their albums on vinyl, and my dad has since passed away. So it might be kind of an emotional evening for me because, as you know, I grew up on classic rock, and it is just such a part of who I am. And this band is such a part of my life and a part of my life with my dad.
They played at the BJCC concert hall. This is probably 10 years ago. And the day before the concert, I called a good rep of mine, Jay Wilson, and said, man, do you have any extra tickets for the Steely Dan concert? I'd love to go down there tomorrow night. I was taking a friend of mine who loves Steely Dan about as much as I do. And he put me on a row BB, and I was like, okay, that's awesome. And of course, I didn't pay for the tickets, which was a treat. So I grabbed a couple of drinks. Little did I know that BB is the second row at the BJCC concert hall, and we could put our feet up on the stage. It was unbelievable. It's one of those nights where, the alcohol was perfect, just had enough to catch me a buzz. The music was great. And then, of course, Walter Becker was still alive. And Donald's sitting up there, and he's asking people for requests. And at that point in time, they didn't play My Old School in concert. And a couple times, like, My Old School, I wasn't trying to be that obnoxious Steely Dan fan because it's a Steely Dan concert. And he looked over at me, and he nodded no several times. And so the last encore they did, they came out, and I looked at him. I said, My Old School, and he gave me the big yes, and they went into that piano part, man. It was just a great concert. You will thoroughly enjoy it. And I know that since Walter Becker is not around, it really doesn't matter, man. I mean, his playing was impeccable. It was great. But a lot of players can pick like he can. He was just his writing prowess that's really made that band so good. So you will thoroughly enjoy it, and I'm really jealous, and I hope to get a chance to get down here and see you with you, man.
That'd be great.
All right, so it has been hotter than Hades out there. I watched this scorching car barometer, I guess, on the Weather Channel, and it's pretty much the same across the whole thing. You take the temperature outside, And then with the windows up in a car, over the course of 10 minutes, it goes up 15 degrees. And over the course of 30 minutes, it goes up to 34 degrees. So if it's 100 degrees outside, within a half an hour, your car will be 134 degrees inside the car. I do want to bring up our pets because I think a lot of times we don't think about our animals. The whole idea, well, they're wearing a fur coat. You need to rethink about whether you're going to take them for walks and everything else. And I know there's a lot of jurisdictions in and around the Texas area right now where they're asking you not to leave your pets outside before 9 or after 9. It's still too hot, even in the overnight hours. We think once the sun goes down, it cools off, but it doesn't. But give us a couple of things we need to think about for our little furry friends in this just absorbent kind of heat. It's terrible.
When you can get them acclimated to the heat, and what that means is taking them out for short periods of time over the span of a couple of weeks, and you can, if they get acclimated to it, then they are much less predisposed to having hyperthermia or heat stroke. But on really hot days, like we have had and we will continue to have, you still can't leave them outside. You know, I mean, the acclimation is good, and it will prepare their body to, you know, withstand being outside for a little while, but leaving them outside in the sun for hours is still not a good idea. So some good tips for suspected hyperthermia, if you feel like that your dog is having that, and some of the symptoms of that are vomiting after being outside, excessive panting, of course, lethargy, you know, probably vomiting though is the one that is the telltale, because, you know, dogs pant even when they're not super hot. Yeah. So look for that kind of stuff.
And that's something that's something you definitely want to bring them in for, right? I mean, they
for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If you are concerned, then you need to get them into a veterinarian right away. So if you do feel like your dog is having a heat stroke or hyperthermia, you want to get them to a veterinarian as quickly as you can. And some things you can do in the meantime is you can get some kind of tepid water on them. It doesn't need to be cold water. So go ahead and just soak them down, put them in the car, roll the windows down, turn the AC on, and head to your nearest veterinary practice. It doesn't have to be your veterinary practice. Probably, you know, if you drive 5 or 6 miles to get somewhere, you probably just want to find the closest one, and then they'll get to work on them.
Okay. Dr. Rab Stewart, Dark Side of the Pooch. You can hear the show every Monday fresh at noon and 8, a first run shows. Thanks to the thousands and thousands of folks. We have listened to Tony Currie Radio and the Tony Currie Radio app. And of course, if you miss anything, go to Spotify and search Dark Side of the Pooch or Tony Currie Radio. That's Currie with a K. The other thing is I think a lot of people think that just because of a dog's in the shade and he's got a big bowl of fresh water, that's enough. It's not, correct?
It's not, because the heat index, you know, can be higher, and especially here with all the humidity that we have, you know, the shade doesn't necessarily help. You know, it may not be significantly cooler in the shade, like it is in areas that have a, you know, like the South have drier heat. Shade actually helps. Shade doesn't really help you a whole lot here.
Okay. And also talk about their paws. I know a lot of people, and we actually have a question from Lily. She wanted to know, where do you walk dogs? You have to walk them in grass once it gets above 90 degrees? Can their paws take the heat off asphalt?
If you can avoid the asphalt, then that's great, because they will blister their paw pads. You know, dogs, they lose a lot of heat through their paw pads as well. So if you... Dogs and cats lose heat through their paw pads. And so if you watch them walk on, you know, like a hard surface like tile or concrete, so the paws can get blistered because the concrete is hot, especially if it has been sitting out in the sun all day. But one thing that dogs do through their feet, and cats do this as well, is they have some evaporative cooling. So they kind of sweat through their feet. And one thing that you can do if you do feel like they're overheating, something that we do in the office, is you can put alcohol on their feet, and that will make that evaporative cooling happen faster, so they can lose some of that heat if they are overheated through the paws.
So just like some rubbing alcohol?
Yeah, exactly. Just, we use it in the office. It's got, you know, we've got spray bottles for alcohol to either to put on before blood draws and, you know, kind of sterilize things, just regular old rubbing alcohol.
And I think something else too, and I know a lot of people don't like to do these to their dogs, and maybe it's because it's too expensive, but a doggy cut seems to work pretty well too, man. Shave them down a little bit for the summertime. They love it.
Yeah. Yeah. You go to your local groomer, or if your dog is, if it behaves, then you can just do it yourself.
All right. Before we get into some mutt mail here, go to TonyCurryRadio.net, TonyCurryRadio.net. That's Curry with a K. Become a bonehead and leave your email questions. We got some killer email questions we'll get into, but I want to talk about this Uber. Speaking of hot cars, has just released its list of things that people have left inside their Uber cars. And there was one pet object that showed up the most on here. Do you know what it is?
Leash.
All right. We have 500 grams of caviar. One woman found grandma's teeth, a grass cutter and tree trimmer, Supreme underwear, a pizza costume, a breathalyzer, Bernie Sanders fanny pack, a piece of a broom, an antique walking cane, 17 flowers, an urn with pet ashes was left inside of an Uber car. Someone's in trouble, right?
Yeah, they're gonna want that back.
That's probably. Can you take animals in an Uber?
I don't know. I've never tried to take an animal in an Uber. That's a great question. I'm gonna guess no. I'm gonna guess you cannot, unless it's been cremated.
I bet you probably can. All right, let's get into some mutt mail here. Brought to you by, of course, our fine folks at Ed's Pet World, 979-1331. They're fantastic. 50 years in the business of providing you with exotic pets and all the care you need to make sure that exotic pet has a wonderful life with you. And, of course, all the toys, collectibles, and more. Check out Ed's Pet World. Lily in Saskatchewan, Canada wants to know, Dr. Rab, how long is it okay for my poodle not to poop before I need to bring it in?
Most dogs are going to have a bowel movement, at least one bowel movement a day. I would say that if you go 2 days without a bowel movement, then you definitely want to have that pet seen. Something that is common is dogs are actually having diarrhea, but it's such small amounts that the owners think they're constipated. Mm-hmm. So they'll go out to the yard and they'll posture to poop and it looks like nothing comes out. But what's really happening is the dog is having frequent bouts of diarrhea from the colon. And so you're going to see small amounts of loose stool from there. So we get a lot of times people say, oh, my dog's constipated, we need to come in. And more times than not, it ends up being that.
And typically, if a dog is on some type of medicinal regime for diarrhea, how long should it take before that dog starts usually having regular bowel movements?
If it's just routine colitis, and there's lots of reasons for colitis, the most common one is probably stress or anxiety due to a food change or due to its routine being upended. So if it's just a non-complicated case of colitis, it's usually going to improve drastically within 48 hours. But if it's something different, you know, if it's an autoimmune disorder or if it's a like a small bowel, meaning small intestine, so like small bowel diarrhea caused by some type of infection, then that can take longer to clear up. If it's a food allergy, you know, not a food change that causes you know, the kind of a shock to the intestines, but a true food allergy, you know, those can take longer to clear up because you got to diagnose it, and then usually it's the treatment's a little different.
The $14 billion U.S. pet industry comes to light every single Monday right here on Tony Curry Radio on Dark Side of the Pooch. I love doing the show with my good friend Dr. Rab Stewart from Rossbridge Animal Hospital at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. Get on there and check us out, 208-0301. That's area code 205. Tracy in West End has a very interesting question, and it's a question that a lot of people are going to be shaking their heads at. She said she has kenneled her dog for 6 years. It's a great dog, and the dog loves being in its kennel. Even when she's at home watching television, she'll leave the door open, but the dog won't ever come out of the kennel. Is there an issue with that? And she goes, how can I get my dog to come out of the kennel? It goes in there to go to sleep. It goes in there where it's comforted, or is that just a problem? You just leave alone.
I mean, I wouldn't worry about it at all. As long as the dog isn't exhibiting any signs of anxiety when it comes out, you know, most dogs get super anxious when they're in a kennel, you know, and they're doing everything they can to get out. So you just want to be sure that there's nothing that's making the dog so anxious it doesn't want to come out of the kennel. And if so, you know, try to remedy whatever that would be, you know, as far as exposure to it. But I feel like that would be on the list of problems, a pretty good problem to have. You know, if the dog feels comfortable in its own in its own space and its own designated area, I think that's great. But you can, you know, try to use environment enrichment to get them out, you know, with toys or, you know, treats or you know, whatever, a little extra attention. But I would think that probably not an issue there.
Okay. Tim in Houston says he loves himself some Tone the Bone and Tony Curry Radio. He's moving to Birmingham coming up here at the end of August. He said he will definitely be getting a customer there with Dr. Rab Stewart. He absolutely loves the show. He wants to know, he's heard us talk numerous times about what dogs can and cannot eat and table scraps and everything else. He said, but what about cats? Can cats eat people food? And are there some animals or some foods that cats should refrain from eating?
Cats should not have the same thing that dogs cannot have. You know, cats are, they don't seem to be quite as, voracious, I think, and sneaky as dogs are. I don't know if they're just not big enough to get into the garbage and things like that. But I tell people that for the most part, you really want to deter giving them any human food, because even if something is not toxic, there's a decent chance that it's going to upset their stomach.
Okay.
Because their GI tracts are just, they're just kind of, they're rudimentary. So, I would recommend staying on, you know, whatever cat food or dog food the pet, likes, because if you'll do that, you're not only going to avoid toxicities, either known or unknown, but you're going to avoid, we talked earlier about just colitis and gastritis. You're going to avoid that, which is going to keep you out of our office, which, you know, we love to see people. We would much prefer to see people for wellness visits and, you know, happy times rather than them being sick.
And typically, I think because we know that cats kill birds and raccoons and wild animals, they can pretty much stomach anything. And it's just not true. Do you find that most cats, do they consume what they kill, or is it just for the sport?
Oh, we both. We have a lot of people that say they don't understand because the cat's not eating whatever it kills.
Yeah.
And we have people that say they do eat it. So I think it just depends on the cat's palate.
Okay, there you go. Dark Side of the Pooch, listen to it live. Thousands of folks get after it every single noon and 8 o'clock every Monday. It's Dark Side of the Pooch Monday here on Tony Curry Radio, one of 10 different shows we have going on. We're adding some more shows coming up in July and August, so we're super excited about that. Go to Spotify. You can listen to all of our shows. Dark Side of the Pooch, Blues Almighty, the Damon Johnson Show, Mission Minded, When in Rome, goes on and on and on. Check us out on Spotify and search Tony Curry Radio and Dark Side of the Pooch. Trixie in Cincinnati, Ohio, my neck of the woods here. She's talking, we've had this question before, but it comes up probably more so than any other question. My dog constantly makes this emphysema sound, this snorting sound, like it can't catch its breath. What exactly is happening there for a dog when it gets excited and it just makes that noise?
That's a reverse sneeze, most likely. So if Trixie wants to go to YouTube and search reverse sneeze in a dog, and if it's a similar sound, then that's probably what it is. And it's usually nothing to worry about unless you feel like it's happening more frequently than it used to. That sound comes from the dog just trying to clear its nasal passages like we would do. You know, if you're about to hawk up a loogie, you know, it's kind of the same thing. Dogs aren't going to spit, you know, after they do it, but you know, it's the same kind of principle. They're clearing their nasal passages. There are some instances in some breeds where it could maybe be a little more involved, like bulldog type dogs. They can have some problems with their kind of their palate and their laryngeal area, but for the most part, it's probably just a kind of a normal thing that they're doing.
If that's happening a lot, could that indicate possibly an allergy issue?
It could indicate increased nasal, like post-nasal drip kind of. So yeah, I mean, allergies or an upper respiratory infection. So that's why if they're doing it more frequently than they typically do, probably be good to have them seen. But if it's something that they've done, you know, maybe they started doing it at some point when they're younger, and it, you know, might happen once a day. It might happen when they get really excited. So if that's the case, then it's probably a non-pathologic sound.
Okay. Dr. Rab Stewart at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, of course, on Facebook. And it's brought to you by Ed's Pet World down there in beautiful Homewood. It's been open for nearly 50 years. It has redid the streets down there. So you got all kinds of parking down there for Ed's Pet World. Steve in Boise, Idaho. And boy, this has happened to me twice. And I know several people it's happened to. His dog Snickers got a stick caught in its throat last Saturday, but the vet was nearly 100 miles away and he knew that he wouldn't be able to get in until Monday. So he reached down the throat of his dog and picked it out with his two fingers. He could actually see it going from side to side. What should a pet owner do if, in fact, their dog's got a stick caught in their throat and they're too far away from a veterinarian to have it removed?
Just what he did, reach in there and try to pull it out. More commonly, it gets caught in between their teeth. So it gets lodged up in there. I've never actually seen one where it was lodged in the back of the mouth, you know, in the airway or in the esophageal area. I've seen them where they get stuck between their top rows of teeth,
yeah.
You know, where their tongue would sit. And sometimes that can be kind of hard to get out because it's wedged in there really good. And it's not like you can just reach back there and pull it because it's really tight between the teeth. So what we do at our office is we have to sedate them, you know, and there's various levels of sedation depending on how frantic the dog is. But, you know, in a life or death situation, if you feel like that it is actually blocking the airway, sometimes it can be really difficult to get it out of the dog because they're freaking out so much.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might just have to let them calm down before the dog will let you get back in there and look.
Yeah, and anytime you're reaching into something with teeth, you need to be careful too, because chances are you maybe get chomped on. Can animals be administered the Heimlich maneuver?
Yeah, they can.
Have you ever done it?
I've never done it because it's one of those things where the pet doesn't understand what's good for them. So
you think?
You know, So you can't tell them, listen, I'm going to do everything I can to get this out, but I need you to stand up on your back legs and let me hold you up while this other person. And it's very similar to a human Heimlich maneuver, but you want to try to get them up on their back legs and get below their diaphragm and push in and up. But, you know, the problem is that they're frantic. They're freaking out. And the, you know, chances of being able to actually do that is difficult. Now, you know, if they pass out, you know, then maybe you can get somebody to hold them up while you administer the Heimlich to a dog. But if they've passed out already, you probably need to be on your way to a veterinary practice and not trying to do the Heimlich at your house.
There you go. All right. Emily wants to know, let's see, she's got, I'm reading through the email. She's actually got a bloodhound and it loves to go outside. And obviously bloodhounds kind of stink anyway, but she needs to give that dog a bath like almost every single day. Is there any reason not to give a dog a bath every day? And how often should you bathe your animals?
If it smells every day, then you probably want to be sure that it doesn't have a yeast infection somewhere or a bacterial infection in its ears or it's like between its toes or the bottom of its feet. But as far as normal bathing, it's best to do a bath once every 2 weeks rather than any more frequently than that because it can dry out their coat. You know, bathing them every day, it can cause some issues with their skin barrier. So if it needs a bath every day because it smells so bad, then I would probably want to be sure that it doesn't have a yeast infection somewhere.
All right. And finally, Tommy gets his dog shaved every single week, and he has recently noticed a scab about the size of a nickel underneath the dog's chin, and it doesn't appear to be a cut. So I know sometimes pet groomers get a little too close once in a while, but this looks like it's kind of scabbed over, but it's been there for about a week. Should he worry about anything?
So the first thing I would do if it's been there for about a week, I would want to be sure that the dog is not rubbing it or scratching it. So the best thing to do would be to get one of those, the cones, you know, the lampshades, and put it around the dog's neck so that he cannot rub his chin on the floor or rub it with his paw. And just give it give it another week or two to heal. If it's gone, then you're all good. But if it's still there, it could be a plaque, or it could be a kind of a flattened growth, like a histiocytoma or something like that. That's not a big deal, but it just may need some treatment to go away. So be sure that the dog is not able to mess with it for a couple of weeks. If it's still there, then have it looked at. I mean, I wouldn't be overly worried about it right now. But that's the approach I would take.
There he is, Dr. Rab Stewart from the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. Joins us every single week here, Dark Side of the Pooch at noon and 8 right here on Tony Currier Radio. Thanks for all the people listening to us all over the country and certainly right here in the Birmingham area and in the Rossbridge Animal Hospital area. And, of course, on Spotify. Go to Spotify, search Tony Currier Radio. That's K-U-R-R-E, just T-K-R. Check that out, and you can check out hundreds of different shows, including we've probably done 35 or 40 of these Dark Side of the Pooches, and every one of them is different, and they're great. We have great questions. And again, go to TonyCurryRadio.net, TonyCurryRadio.net, and become a bonehead, and you can leave your emails. What's going on besides the Steely Dan concert and things going on? You always have something very interesting. Any interesting surgeries, any interesting stories you've had come through your store over the last couple of weeks?
We diagnosed a cat with Cushing's disease recently, which is it's very common in dogs. It's where their body is producing too much steroid. It's incredibly uncommon in cats, but we diagnosed a case of Cushing's disease recently. So that was that's pretty interesting. That's just really rare. I mean, 12 years I've never seen a case of it till now.
What causes that?
It can be a tumor. It is a tumor. It's a tumor either associated with the adrenal glands or the pituitary gland in the brain, and it causes an increased production of cortisol or steroid in the body. So it causes increased thirst and urination. It causes it depends on the species, but it can cause weight gain and it's patient to patient, but weight gain and voracious appetite and that sort of thing.
All right, James Michael Keats, you know, he's getting himself an Australian Shepherd sometime in July. He just told me he saw pictures of his little puppy. You got anything for Dr. Rab here before we let him fly here on Dark Side of the Pooch?
Man, this puppy is so adorable. Dr. Rab, I'm telling you.
Puppies are like children. They're all beautiful when they're young. Then they grow up, man. What happens?
That's right.
Dr. Rab, you could probably tell me like a short checklist, maybe three or five things that I could do like on day one. So we go and pick up the puppy, you know, obviously we have some little toys and things like that ready to go. But what kind of steps do we need to go through, especially in consideration of the fact that we have three cats?
Yeah, I was going to say with the three cats, because I know how my Australian Shepherd reacts around my cat. The reason we got him as a stow was because he had killed a cat from the previous family and he just chased my cat the other day. But because this dog's a puppy, he can instill in that animal that it's part of a family and the cats can't go, correct?
Yeah, usually the cats will put the dog in its place pretty yes. quick. So, I mean, you always want to be cautious and you don't want to just leave the cat to defend for itself. But most of the time, the cat is going to give the dog a quick punch to the face and it's going to be settled right there. Just be sure that the cats have a safe place to, eat and drink and rest and go to the bathroom. You might want to, if it's possible, you might want to change that kind of setup so that the new puppy doesn't have access to either cause problems when the cat's trying to get to the litter box or actually in the litter box. And when the cat's trying to get to food and water. So it might be, you know, difficult to set it up that way. But if you can, I think that would be really important. And also socializing the dog as soon as you get it is really important, because if you can expose them to dogs that are healthy, you know, and not sick and have been vaccinated, then there's really no risk of transmitting a serious virus to the new puppy, as long as the dogs are healthy. But if you can socialize it, it's really going to help the dog not be fearful or aggressive towards dogs, and do the same thing with people, introduce him to a lot of people. So that way he won't have a problem. He won't be afraid, but you want to introduce him to dogs and people that are calm and kind and not too crazy.
That sounds great. You know, our solution for the litter box thing was to put the litter boxes underneath this little, it's a little like cabinet thing that we put a cat door in. So it took us a long time to teach the cats how to work it, but they know how to work it now. They can go in there and they're totally, closeted in.
There you go.
That's great. You can teach a cat how to use a toilet, by the way.
Can you really?
Yeah, they make these things. They're these rings, and so you put it, you raise the seat, you put it down in there, and every so often you remove the center part first, and then you remove the next layer, and then you work your way out until you've removed the apparatus, and it's just the toilet seat that's down, and they will perch up there and pee and poop. It's amazing.
The day I see a cat sitting on a toilet, that'll be the day.
Be
hey, Jinxie did it in Meet the Fockers. It's real.
Oh, yeah, really. I love it.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Rab. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, man, of course.
You're the man. I appreciate you, man. Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, brought to you by Ed's Pet World. Nearly 50 years in the business. They've redone the streets down there. I think they just did it for Ed's, just to make it even more negotiable if you're down there trying to find some parking. It's a wonderful place. Anyone that goes down to Ed's Pet World realizes it's a staple here in the Birmingham area. They do it all. Exotic pets, chinchillas. They've got talking parakeets. They got caiman alligators. They got snakes. They got wonderful spiders. They got tarantulas, they got fish, they got all kinds of wonderful exotic pets. And on top of that, Angie and Seth, the entire crew, they get into toys, man. They've been into the toy thing. Seth goes all over the country, including Las Vegas, bringing back collectibles, vintage toys, watches, Star Wars stuff, all still in the box. If you're looking for that hard-to-find toy, check out Ed's Pet World down there in beautiful Homewood. Nearly 50 years in the business and a great sponsor of Dark Side of Pooch. As always, Dr. Rab, we love you, and we'll talk to you next week.
I'm drinking my big black cow tomorrow, baby.
There you go, baby. Enjoy it. I hope I see you there, man.
See ya.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.